Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Heart Sing podcast. Addie Beal here, and I am so excited for our guest today. She's a longtime mentor of mine, one of my coaches, and just an incredible woman. I consider her like a sister to me. And it's Mary Beal Adler, as you see here. And we also call her the Sparkinator, the biohacker, and her passion around increasing her quality and longevity of life that you're going to just really get a good glimpse into in this episode. I wanted to share a little bit about Mary with you. She's a successful entrepreneur, author of Who Scooped My Bagel? One Woman's Story of Love, Loss, and Success, a creativity coach and human potential coach, owner and CEO of the Georgetown Bakery, a retail wholesale bakery in DC. And Mary is also sought after expert in women's leadership, work-life balance issues. She has a heart for philanthropy, which you'll hear more about today, cycling, yoga, meditating, reading, playing piano, and teaching meditative spinning. Oh my gosh, Mary. How's that make you feel?
Catching my breath, right?
Yeah. So Mary, if you have been a longtime listener of the podcast, you might be familiar. Mary, this is her fourth episode. I can't believe that I've had a podcast long enough. You've been on here four times, much less how we've seen you move through the process to get to this big epic goal you're getting ready to take off and do in just a few short weeks, going to do Tour d'Afrique and biking the continent, I know I say that funny, but like of Africa, which is just mind blowing. I think there was a part of me, Mary, don't judge me, but that was like, this isn't really going to happen. You know what I mean? Like Mary's not going to go do this thing. Was there ever a part of you that had that thought?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like every day. Okay, what's going to come up that could possibly make me change my decision and all of the little things that have led up to where I am in the process right now? There have been plenty. There have been plenty. And the most probably the one that sticks out right now is making sure that the business, the bagel business, Georgetown Bagelry, it's not rocket science, and we've been around a long time, but there have been changes. And Unstoppable, my daughter Retha, is operations right now. She's running it, but she's also a new mother. Just had a baby, and I have every ounce of confidence in her and her abilities. She just is like better at it than I ever was, I think. But there have been moments, and I'm like, oh, So, I mean, one of the things I've learned over the years is back up for the backup, and just really pulling together a good team. So, I really have a great bookkeeper and accountant and, financial controls and stuff like that that are really important for any business. I take my responsibility as CEO and owner as very one of my responsibilities that I take like super seriously is running a profitable business and company. And I worked too hard for too many years to learn and understand and make that happen. So any little glitch there kind of, that's a game changer for me. And then I have to really look at myself, and I'm just not ready to bow out of that scene just yet, because it's not quite where I want it to be, my vision for that business. So that's one of the things.
And I
one of
you,
many.
Yeah. Well, and I think that whole topic could be a whole podcast itself, right? Like, right? Just talking today about, share with everybody a little bit about, it's been, I think, what, a 4-year journey for you leading up to this point, because of how many times it got derailed, all of that. Can you tell the audience, and especially for those new to us, that what is this exactly you're going to do? Why? And for God's sake, Mary, why? And how, you know, I mean, the whole tent thing, like, you know, just share with them how epic this is. I think we really need that picture painted of, oh my gosh, this is a huge thing you're going to do. It's not like you're staying in posh hotels along the way and getting like, I mean, it's, this is hardcore like stuff. And, you know, people out there, and even if they can see you, also couldn't guess your age, you know, like, because, you know, we know biologically you test younger than me. If everybody caught the episode.
No, I don't. I'm 2 years older.
I'm still your big sister. So anyhow, you know, being 65 and heading off to do what you're going to share with everyone right now, what an example of what is possible and why, like, I am always watching what you're doing and listening and learning. So you guys out there, listen, pay attention, because you never know what nugget you're going to pick up from Mary. I just listen to it all, and then I'll pick up one little thing and it'll be a paradigm shift for me and help me move into that space, because you're out there doing it, actively moving yourself forward. So tell us a little bit about what the heck this Tour d'Afrique is exactly. And maybe a little bit about Global Bike too. And then we'll head into all those obstacles you're coming up to against, you know, that came up for you.
So how I even decided that this was something I wanted to do, there were a few things, synchronicities that happened in my life. One was, you know, I had already cycled across the country, had a huge crash, went back, and, you know, I didn't understand. I had a lot of fear over what happened then, and I really was kind of stuck there. So I went back and did it again. And I wanted to, and I learned so much from that experience. It just changed my life in many, many ways. It's basically facing the unknown and my fears. And I learned how to, you know, like, there are certain goals going into something like this. And, you know, that crash altered everything. Like, it wasn't cycle every inch, which is like, basically what everybody wants to do. The easy decision, this is kind of important. This is how I make decisions, because I bet, anyway, the easy thing for me to do when I crashed, I had a concussion. I had more injuries than I even realized until I got home and had things x-rayed. I go home, and which is easy to do in the United States, pretty much. I mean, we were kind of remote, but you could get to an airport. People speak English. Or do I finish? What would finishing look like injured? Could I ride again? So all kinds of things. And actually, when I decided I was going to finish, even if it was in the SAG, the support vehicle, and I was going to be the strongest team person I could possibly be. I didn't have to be stronger than anybody else or any of that. As strong as I could be and support everybody else, and in the process heal. So it changed everything. But when I, so it took some time before I could get back on the bike and all of that, but I didn't quit. It changed my goal. And then going back and doing it again and seeing it from a different lens, a different perspective, was also life-altering. So it
changed your goal from just biking the continent to biking across America.
To being a great team person.
Right.
It's like you hear about it in basketball. I know some of the famous players are like, you know, you're on the bench, you'd be the best bench person you possibly can be. You're on the whatever. That's that, you know, like shift. It's like, what can I not do? What can I do today in this moment to be the best version of me? What's going to make me, you know, it's like what I put on my daily planner, Addie, is, you know, what's the greatest ideal of myself? And how do I become that? And so part of the plan is, you know, asking myself those questions right where I am. I don't have to fly someplace to do that. like home where it's comfortable, where I know everything, where everything's the same, you know? So I'm kind of testing myself and my how I look at myself and the universe. So anyway, so that was on that second time through, you know, you talk to you all day, you're on your bike and you're talking to everybody and you hear each other's life stories and all of that. And somebody had mentioned Tour d'Afrique. So that kind of like rang a bell. It was somebody, you know, one of the British guys. And then I was listening, this was way later, and I was having a hard time cycling because it's a whole different kind of riding when you have a place to go or an adventure to do. It's not racing. It's not, yep, we race, you know, but it's not, it's just a whole different experience and the people you meet along the way. And sometimes, you know, it's just fascinating. To me, it was just fascinating. It's like going across the country, slow motion, 6 feet above.
What that's like for me? Walking to the coffee shop versus just walking the neighborhood. Not quite as epic as what you're talking about, but it's like when you have a destination. Of where you're going. And that's why having goals, right? It really helps you picture that outcome. So you can like, what version gets me to become the person that does this thing? Yeah.
How can I tweak me? You know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were
listening to some podcasts and there was some woman that rode across Canada or something. And there's a Guinness World Record for oldest woman crossing continents. And then I researched it a little bit and this is seven epics and I found TDA Tour d'Afrique and the seven epics. And I signed up for them. I'm like, oh, I can do that. And I better start now. I better do the hardest one first because I'm not getting younger. Right. But I actually, that was my thinking, right?
Yeah.
Now, Addie, have I gotten younger?
15 years.
Yeah, right. So I'm saying to myself, I'm not getting younger, but I did.
Yes. Yes. And that was an episode 54 on here. We talked about that, about Mary reversing her age. So I'll drop that in the show notes for people that are curious. What are you talking about reversing your age?
Yeah, biohacking. But yeah. The important thing is I caught my own thinking like, I'm not getting older. I'm like, whoa, you know, is that true? Could the opposite be true? Yeah. The opposite is true for me. So, so I signed up for it and then, you know, different things came up and it was postponed pandemic. And, you know, a couple of my friends that are really great cyclists and stuff, And I was trying to kind of recruit a few women, you know, to go on this with me. And they were like, how do you make a decision like this? And in my entire life, this goes way back probably to college. It was like, when I don't know what to do, like I have a decision to make or what am I going to do next or whatever. And I just really get still and, I listen to my heart and I don't pick like typically what's easy. I pick what's going to mature me most as Mary, you know, like what would make me the most interesting me that I want to be. And it's usually the more difficult thing. So I just make the decision because I know that I want to be that. And then I figure out how to do it.
Yeah, so good. It's who you become in the process of getting to go to do something like Tour d'Afrique, right? Like the experience is going to be something all on its own. So tell everybody like about Tour d'Afrique, like why this is such a big epic thing. Like explain what you're doing specifically.
It's epic because it started off, well, it is a race. So Cairo, the northern Africa to Cape Town. So you basically cycle the whole continent. Now, and typically it's 78. We cut about 1,000 miles, maybe a little bit less this year. I postponed last year because they modified the route and I didn't want to do a modified version of Tour d'Afrique. We're flying over Ethiopia because there's been social unrest And it's basically just unsafe. So we're actually flying from Khartoum to Nairobi, which is a chunk of the tour, but it's still about, I don't know how many miles. It's a lot of miles. It's a lot. So anyway, you go through all kinds of terrain, desert, mountains. You go up to elevation. I believe Tanzania is about 7,000 feet up, 7,000 feet up. It's kind of like Colorado, like Beaver Creek. So, you know, you go into elevation, you're up there, and then you come cut back down and cross over the state and end up in Cape Town. And it's supported. So we have a chef, we have a mechanic, we have like a lantern rouge is what they call in like an oat route race. But, you know, somebody that pulls up the rear to make sure nobody's lost. There will be security on some of the places where it's, you know, less safe, like police escorts and stuff like that. It's pretty remote. I just received the routes, and so I'm printing all of the maps and the maps and routes and downloading to my Garmin, and then we have backup for the backup. I even got it's a Garmin watch. So I have a Garmin watch and just a regular Garmin navigation device that you put on your bike. I have both, so it's backup for the backup.
Yeah. It's supported, but you're sleeping in tents.
Yeah.
So you bike like 180 miles a day, 60 to 80 miles or something like that. And then you get to a site and you set up camp and then you go bike the next day.
Yeah. So I was looking at the routes and it kind of varies, like the longer day. I think the most miles or kilometers we do in a day. Well, miles we do in a day is like, it's more than I've ever done in one day. It's about 115, 120. That's a lot of miles, but you know, people do it. I don't know. It's not like it's never been done before. By that time, I should be in pretty good
right.
shape, you know? But the thing is, there's so many unknowns. Like I personally do not like cycling in the desert, you know, the heat. There is a section of the tour that gets super hot, like 105 notoriously. So, you know, you just have to be prepared for the elements. And then, you know, you know, after cycling all day with whatever comes up, you pitch your tent, you know, and then get up, do the same thing the next day. So putting the tent up and down, you know, I'm sure we, after a couple of weeks, we'll be whipping them up. And one of my main concerns for Tour d'Afrique is, you know, hygiene. There'll be places where water, we'll have to really conserve water for hydration. So, you know, that and not having showers and stuff as often as we're used to. I'm really enjoying being in Miami right now with the water. I really appreciate it. Because I know I won't have it for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so you mentioned water.
Addie, one thing I was going to say, though, about 3 years ago when I was actually in Tucson with a group of riders, and we were going around the room, and it's a training camp. And everybody was, they asked, okay, your goals, your name, your goals, you know, the basic stuff to get to know each other. And when I said, my goal is to ride Tour d'Afrique, and they're all looking at, they have like a fell off their chairs. And I'm like, all I could think was watch and learn, you know? And I'm telling you, for the next 2 years, I've done more camps, and I know it's not the most, it's a very competitive group and stuff, but I'm like, oh, I'm laying low.
Yeah.
You know? Because mentally, there's a whole mental aspect to this. I'm like, why would I train so hard? Plus I'm older, you know, wear my body out for what and for why? So I really kind of had to think, how can I really prepare for the unknown? How can I be as physically, mentally fit, and not just for cycling, you know, off any kind of medications, be able to heal myself was a big one. So if I'm in the middle of nowhere, and yeah, we have a whole medic plan and the malaria pills and all of that, but you know, say you crash in the middle of nowhere What are you going to do? Well, I can tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I will.
You're going to meditate.
I will heal. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole conversation right there, but it's taken a lot of practice to learn to really understand and know, have the skills to get where I am right now. Like yesterday I went to the, I think I was telling you about this, but the joint specialist. So I wanted to have x-rays of my hips and some different issues. You know, I have like different issues from different things in my life. And before I go, so like after all the wear and tear, just, you know, what I've kind of learned in with the healing process is if I have a vision, if I know what something's supposed to look like, then I can create that. You know, I can change matter, but I can't change it if I don't know what I'm changing it to. You know, it's like random.
Right, what you're looking for. Yeah.
So I go in and I have like the every last medical thing that you could possibly think of. And I'm so incredibly healthy right now. I was like in tears because my hips have actually, I started cycling because I had arthritis in my hips. My hips, the x-rays, I still have arthritis in my hips, but I've hacked a bunch of stuff and I take different supplements and I do really healthy things. And I swear they look so much better. Now, I did not tell the doctor. He didn't have the old x-rays, but oh my goodness. And he kept asking me, how old are you? He didn't ask me just once. It's like he didn't believe me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really phenomenal.
Yeah, so,
and it has been watching. Yeah.
I'm just really, really grateful.
Talk a little bit about, well, let me ask you this first. What do you think the biggest outcome is going to be from you having this experience, the biggest change in your life?
Oh, I imagine I'll be a different person at the end. I'll be, you know, I have this vision. I can just see my husband at the end in Cape Town.
Yeah. And what happens? So what happens after that point? Like what have you changed that you carry beyond that? You're not just a person that did tour de freak, but like who are you becoming in that process? Right. Like what is it? How does it change fundamentally who you are?
I'll just be a better me. And what that is, I'm not really clear right now, but it'll be pretty magnificent, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to embrace my genius. And I think there's more to me than I really see. And hopefully I'll get glimpses of what that is in other people's eyes along the road.
Yeah. Do you, when you think of doing this, and it's been 4 years, and then you got derailed with COVID and all of those things came up.
Injuries,
all of that. Like, were there times you just thought about giving up?
No.
Yeah. So no, you just,
I mean, I made up my mind. I think everybody around me was hoping I would like change my mind, but I'm like, you know, and there's family, there's, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. I mean, if I didn't have such a terrific husband, you know, he's like my biggest support, and you know, I just really cherish that, you know, somebody that's like, yeah, I mean, really like wanted me not to go and change my mind and do all of that, but
yeah. Well, and how long you're gone for? What, 4 months?
Yeah, just about.
And you leave January. When do you fly out?
I leave DC on the 10th.
Oh my gosh, the 10th of January. Oh my gosh, Mary. You guys, it's almost Christmas right now. So that is like, are you nervous? Are you so excited? What emotions in your body when you think about that?
Well, I can tell you I had a lot of anxiety for several months. My HRV, my heart rate variability dropped to like deadline. which is very unusual for me. It's usually typically high. I usually have a lot of deep sleep, and my deep sleep like shrank, and it was anxiety and stress. And I'm like looking at my life. I'm like, okay, what is my stress? What is my stress? And it's just so many unknowns and, you know, overthinking what other people are thinking about me, but basically family. So I, you know, I did a week long with Dr. Joe that was really important to me in the fall, one last like really boost of understanding and practice and all of that. And my HRV went way up during the meditation week and then baselined, and I felt terrific, but I didn't understand it. And since I actually did a coherence healing, which is a lot of people like myself working together and changing the energy in the field, my HRV shot back up, not where it used to be, but it's doubled up from flatlining.
Wow.
So that's just a huge indicator. And so I look at those things. I look at numbers.
Yeah. And Mary's talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza and his work with, meditation in the quantum field and creating from energy, right? So it's been a big part of your journey. Yeah. So just because you said Dr. Joe, so for people that don't have reference, and we've talked about that in quite a few of the episodes and meditation in general, because we all know what junkies we are, like meditation junkies. And Mary like inspired me to go to Dr. Joe this year, which you guys all know I went and did. And it was really an amazing experience to just immerse yourself in meditation like that for a solid week, and the experiences you can like push yourself beyond. And you've been to so many now working toward this goal. It's another aspect of you that has really become because of this goal and how you envision being this woman on this healthiest, highest version of yourself on this tour de freak. Like you might not have made those changes and those steps on your path, especially when it got derailed from COVID. And we were sharing a little bit about that. So when you saw your goal moving and getting derailed, and this happens to all of us, right? We're in pursuit of a weight loss goal. We're kicking ass at the gym, and all of a sudden our knee goes out. And that was such a part of like our psyche, how we built ourselves around this new version of ourselves, that it like completely derails us. And I know you had quite a few of those things. You want to talk a little bit just how you just seem to get back on and move yourself toward that space and becoming a better version in the process, where a lot of us could just like, fuck it, like for lack of a better term, screw it, I'm done. Like, look, this is the universe just showing I can't do it. It's just giving me this bum knee or whatever it might be, right? Like, so you want to share a little bit how you change your reality and move through those things?
Yeah. So one of the things I've learned mostly, I just through knocks of life, but it really applies to business too. And when the pandemic hit, not only did it alter my plans for Tour d'Afrique, but with the business, with basically everything in life, probably pretty much like everybody. So through other struggles in my life, I learned that, number one, face it, get all the information, listen to my heart. It never lies to me. And do the next right thing. And typically that is not what everybody else would do. And I always ask myself, what's the opportunity in the adversity? And there's that famous Patanjali quote that even in the knocks of life, there are great gifts. So I look for the gifts in that. And, you know, my son was working with me at the time when the businesses were going out of business right and left. And I shut down, socially distanced all the employees and renovated, put money into the business when everybody else is like really holding tight to everything they have. also like doing all the paperwork, making sure you get the PPP stuff, boom, 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 fast. And it's like not hesitating. And I noticed even other, I'm involved with WPL Women's President's Organization. And, you know, we have our forums and everything went virtual and people were like really questioning, you know, do we do this or that? I'm like, these systems are in place to protect or whatever, you can take advantage or not, but man, you got to jump on this stuff. And you also have to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, you know, like your books in order and, you know, the little details of stuff. So my son's looking at me like I'm nuts, but I'm like, no, this is what we're going to do. This is when we take action. We do what nobody else would do. And
you know, so was that an obstacle to you getting to your Tour d'Afrique goal though? I mean,
it all went together.
Yeah.
Because it was postponed. And I'm like, oh, how much can you train for something? So you don't know when the world's going to open it up again, when anything, how do you keep it? And what I learned first time going across the United States and crashing was you can, and I trained pretty hard, was super fit. It didn't matter when I crashed.
Right.
It didn't matter.
Because so good.
It doesn't matter
when you crash, you guys. Yeah, I love it.
I had to start and go. This was huge for me. Slow and steady. I wasn't with the fast people. I got the early start, but I learned to stop and talk to. I just started stopping at every single place. Every place on the road where I could meet a new person, I stopped. I met them, learned about their lives, their everything, you know.
You learn to enjoy the journey, which I think is just like, oh, that's so good, right? I was just writing about that for myself this morning about us having these paths and doing something as epic as you are, Mary. I was really thinking about it and how you have just like, when that happened, I just saw your energy shift into, all right, how can I just enjoy all these things I'm moving through, right? And you kept training, but you backed off and you let it become about these other things, like improving your business. Yeah.
Eddie, a really interesting thing. So, you know, I asked my question, what's the gift in the adversity? And I thought, okay, I imagine myself in, you know, a tough situation, someplace remote Africa, and what skills do I need emotionally, and to survive, you know, to keep going and not just break down and want to fly home, you know, like
get me to sleep.
And so I started meditating more. You know, we'd already done all the other stuff, and I was, you know, kind of big into Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I was going to a retreat. I think it was my first one. I had never been. And I thought, you know, I better learn about this walking meditation. So I just downloaded a couple of them, and everybody was isolating. I was the gopher in our house because I had the business and stuff. And I went down on the canal and I started every single day. I did a walking meditation, and I learned by just slow and steady and changing my energy and being in nature and the early morning light. And I saw this really like healthy stuff. Then I noticed on my Aura ring that hour from a training perspective was one of the healthier hours of my day, because your heart rate raises to like low end endurance, or maybe just a little lower than that, very, you know, up, but low. And I'm talking slow and steady and, you know, I'm meditating. For an hour, but I noticed that heart rate steady for an hour was one of the healthiest things I ever did. Now, if I go out and ride my bike for, you know, however, it doesn't even matter how long, it's up and down, you're going up a hill, down a hill, you coast, da, 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 da. You might do intervals, but it's not that 1 hour of just steady. So even 20 minutes is like amazing. Most people don't, you know, that's like amazing, but an hour every day. And now it's just like what I do.
And that wouldn't have all happened had you not had the delay. You know, it's like looking back and seeing all the blessings that came out of the delay, and who knows what it's preparing you for that's ahead, that you're going to be like, oh, thank goodness. You know, it puts you in that position. You know, thank goodness the world stopped and slowed down, and I was forced to kind of reevaluate and look at things. It allowed you to go to many more retreats. And, you know, like it's just brought so many gifts your way. For sure. And just a note to listeners on meditation, you know, because we're talking about Dr. Joe, but Mary mentioned TM in there a couple of times. If you haven't started a meditation practice, and I know you're out there hearing and you're like, oh my gosh, where do I even go? You know, transcendental meditation, primordial sound meditation that I teach are mantra-based meditations. They're a really great place to start and learn how to focus and learn how to sit still, like 20 minutes, even like Mary said. And then when you're, and Dr. Joe's work to me was like a deep acceleration of that place I was already, I was grateful. I felt like I stepped into that work already having some training of my mind and my being, you know what I mean, Mary? So anyhow, just thought I'd add that for people out there. But so with this future self version of yourself, because you know I'm a future self junkie, Mare. So what is she at the end that you aren't right now already? Because you're pretty effing fabulous from where I'm sitting. Like what, like when you see Jonathan at the end and you're there, what is in that vision that you don't yet possess right now?
Well, that's okay. Nothing. Because yeah. I see that so clearly. nothing really. I mean, no, I mean, it will just be a beautiful moment.
Yeah, you already are.
There's, you know, I some things I have no idea that I haven't even tried to visualize other than the first day. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be a sensory.
Well, like, and so. And talking about Africa a little bit, and you've talked about the different terrains, and just to bring up Global Bike, your cause too, because that kind of weaves in with everything. And when you said water, I remember when I was looking on the site thinking, oh my gosh, they have pictures of like how these bicycles are helping women. You can carry 4 times the amount of water. You guys, they spend 8 to 9 hours a week carting water from a safe spot to their homes, right? And so they can add 4 times more. It's allowing women to be more active in, or to have businesses and to be able to sustain their villages, because the men are all off, what, fighting and hunting and doing those. That they're not as present, right? And that it looks like the women's money too, when we invest in the women, they're more likely to reinvest in their community than the men. So this cause you've picked in Africa, which also speaks to like, when I'm going to put the link in the show notes, and I want you all to go and check out Global Bikes and look and see, and you'll get an idea of the wilderness Mary will be going through and the third world country, the countries you'll be experiencing, the fighting, right? The war, will you be going through war zones and things like that? No, the route goes around things like that, or okay.
Where our route goes, it was Ethiopia, and I believe they've come to a truce, but we're still flying over, so. Other than that, I don't think so.
Yeah. So safe. Anything else you can share about Global Bike and just Africa, maybe from that standpoint and helping our sisters over there, and why?
Yeah, Global Bike is unique because it's a very small nonprofit. And I came across Global Bike via my cycling coach, Josh Whitmore, who's just a phenomenal CTS cycling coach, mountaineer, stuff like that. And when I was cycling across the United States, I asked him what he thought, because I had some different ideas, and he connected me to the head of Global Bike at the time. And it's all shifted over the years. But what really resonated with me was they connected me with one of the women who got up early in the morning, like 3:34, in a hut. And she made rice patties, rice cakes, over a wood-burning flame in the hut. And then she'd roll them out on like a wood coffee table and boil them, you know, make the rice patties, put them in pickle their pickle jugs. It's like what we have at the bagel shop. You get pickles in 5-gallon plastic containers. They have like 2 of those on the back of their bike. And she'd load them up with those and take them up the field and sell them to the men that were working. But I really identified with her because that's what I did at the bagel shop. You know, I used to get up at when we did wholesale, sometimes to, you know, they would start at 1:30 in the morning, and I would go in 2, 3, 4, and did that for many, many years. So 4 o'clock in the morning for me, I just love, you know, before the sun comes up, it's peaceful, quiet. And, you know, she was up baking, you know, doing what it just totally identified. And this particular woman, I'd have to go back and look up her name because this was several years, like 5 years ago or so. She has put her daughters through school, and it's just changed that her life and her daughters. And so access to education, water, having wheels, they ride these bikes, they're called Buffalo bikes. They cost about $250 each, last forever. Healthcare. So many, many women die in childbirth. So with the bikes, they can get to a healthcare facility, which is, you know, nothing like what we have here, but it's something. And, you know, the kind of care and kindness and stuff that they need, and not just them, the healthcare people, nurses and whatever, they can get to the villages. So, you know, that's what lit my fire and really resonated with me, because I could see it actually making a difference in these women's lives. Well, in over the years, they have training systems in place, and the women, like the women that can't read and write, are maintenance, like they're mechanics. So they doesn't mean they can't like fix a bike, right? And what's wonderful is it's not changing the community. Like often what happens in when people raise a lot of money for something, or the men go out and they bring money back to a village, it changes the dynamic of the community. And what Global Bike has been very careful about doing is maintaining that sense of small community and self-sustenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. So that's what I'm doing. And it's just an opportunity to give back. And also I love the fact that so many women are learning about small business, which is, you know, that's my mojo. And
it was really cool. They did a really good job, I think, on the site and the link where you can see some of these stats about how much you help improve their lives with these bicycles. And you guys, even $5, like if everyone listened, $1, $10, like whatever you have to give to these women to really help them with their communities is amazing. And support Mary on the ride. You know, I think you have like 8,000 of your big epic goal already, which is amazing, really, Mary, if you think about it. So are you going to be able to keep us updated while you're on the road? Like, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, well, I have a solar panel. I have solar stuff, and I have like a hub.
Cool.
So we'll see. The Wi-Fi will be sketchy, but I suppose at least every couple of weeks I'll be able to connect. And Marissa, who she will probably do the posting for me, but I'll do what I can. And, you know, my job is basically stay safe and upright on my bike. But I'll tell you, when people contribute, so many people have given already, and unexpectedly, that it just really moves me. Mm-hmm. So I start crying, but I know, you know, on those days, there will be days.
Yeah.
Where it is tough. And I just will know that, you know, I'm not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't be. Oh,
I really hope everybody stays with me and, you know, gives me shout outs and, and, you know, contributes to Global Bike, a couple cups of coffee, you know, skips, you know, give you Starbucks.
I hope you have Marco Polo. I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get my Mary Polo.
We're going to find out.
Hurry to it. I know. I need a dump every couple weeks. I'll record what I can and upload like excerpts to the podcast or something. Okay. So what, I know you have to go, but real, what do you want to leave the audience with? You know, as far as like big epic goals, we're headed into the new year right here. And you're just such an inspiration for moving into a space of fear of like, you know, setting this goal, what is going to make me the best version of myself and moving forward? What kind of things do you have for us people that like my big goal is getting up and walking the coffee shop? Like, what do you got for us, Mayor? Give me some inspiration.
A little thing is, you know, take a different road, you know, take a different path each
Love
day
it.
and seriously learn your neighborhood and make connect with people's eyes and hearts and, you know, bring some joy to your neighborhood. Number one, number two, like, don't dream too small. Dreams do come true. And go for it. You know,
go big. I love it. Do that thing that makes your stomach get excited. All right. Listen to your heart.
Fire. What lights your fire?
So good, Mary. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time. I can't wait to be checking in with you. And thanks so much. Take care.
Okay.